Your attention, please. Our final press conference of the day before the race. We're joined by the Grand Marshal for the 61st Annual Daytona 500, Houston Texans defensive end J.J. Watt, first NFL player to give the command to start engines for the Daytona 500 as Grand Marshal. J.J., welcome to Daytona National Speedway. Welcome to the Daytona 500. It's great to have you here. I know you arrived just shortly ago and just getting a chance to get a lay of the land as you get here. What are your thoughts on serving as Grand Marshal for the Daytona 500, and how much thought and planning are you putting into those four most important words that we're all eagerly waiting to hear today?
I'm excited to be here. It's an honor to be here. When I was asked, you know, the Daytona 500 is an iconic event. I mean, it's the Great American Race. It's iconic. It is huge. So I was so honored to do it. I just got here. I am getting a lay of the land. I can tell the buzz. I can tell the excitement already. It's a huge day. I've done quite a bit of research. I have watched probably the last 8 to 10 years worth of driver starter engines. Dale had a great one last year with tons of energy and passion that I'm going to try and match. But it looks like you just got to really let it fly and get into it. I practiced in front of my girlfriend at home last night, and she gave me the thumbs up. So we're good to go, guys.
All right, that feels good. Four words, no pressure.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take questions. We have wireless mics. We'll start in the back with Matt right there.
JJ, you're one of the first guys that kind of identified Shaquem Griffin when he was playing at UCF. And then when he got to the NFL, you kind of tweeted about him a little bit. What has stood out about him, and what have you seen from him coming into the league?
Yeah, I mean, I love the way he played, and obviously overcoming adversity and everything that he's had too. But beyond that, just the way he played. I mean, the way the energy he played with, the passion, the way he flew around the field, made plays. I mean, I'm a football fan, obviously, so just watching good football and being able to watch him on film. Watch him on Saturdays was fun, and now for him to have a chance in the league is pretty incredible. But like I said, his story is unbelievable. It's something we can all learn from. But even beyond that, just as a football player, he's a blast to watch.
Let's go right up here.
Zach Attanzuetti, kickingthetires.net. In your position in your life, you get to do a lot of really cool things, perhaps things you thought you would never be able to do. Where's the appreciation level when you get to come out to an event like this and everything else that you get to do?
Yeah, you know, I think you said it best. You know, I get a chance to do things in different aspects that I never would have dreamed of being able to do. And when you get a chance to do something at its very highest level, I mean, you consider the Daytona 500, it's the highest level of NASCAR racing. And for them to be willing to ask me to do something and for me to have a chance to come out here and experience in a way not many people get to experience it, it's special. And that's why I love taking the opportunity to do these things, because you get to see things and see worlds that you never would have imagined. And so I love watching, you know, just little things, the preparation of the drivers, the meeting, watching them how they've tuned their cars right at the end and how they talk with their drivers or how they talk with their spotters. It's fun for me just to check it all out and to see new things. And, I mean, this track is huge. I mean, it's massive. And I play in football fields all the time, but this is a whole new thing, and it's really cool. So I'm fortunate and lucky.
Go ahead there, Jerry, and then we're going to go to Mike.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. And a fellow Texan, by the way,
All right.
Down the road at Beaumont. But for you, you do a lot of charitable work too. Can you talk about that and what you've done? Because I know we had the floods and things of that nature. But it's not just that. It's not just limited to your area. You reach out and then help a lot of people that sometimes people don't even know about.
Yeah, you know, I think not only myself, everybody in my position, you know, whether it's the NFL or it's a different professional sport, we realize how lucky we are. I mean, I'm in a position where I get to play a game for a living, and we get compensated very well to do it. And we have a chance to use that platform to give back and to do good with it. And growing up, I mean, I was always, you know, part of a middle-class family. You know, my dad was a firefighter. My mom started out as a secretary and worked her way up to becoming a vice president of a company. And we were never rich, but we were never poor. And we always had it all right. And so they always taught me that there's people out there that are worse off than you. And so if you get a chance to give back and you have a chance to make somebody else's life a little bit better, absolutely do it. And so I've been lucky to have two parents who taught me that from a young age, and that's really what's helped me. And it's crazy. I mean, you talk about the floods and everything. I mean, the support that the world showed during that, it's just an example of being able to use that platform that not everybody may be able to have to do some good. And it's just shining the light on the positivity.
Mike, and then we'll go to Al.
Mike Neff from frontstretch.com. in that charitable organization with the flood relief, you took a major leadership role. You're obviously a leader on your football team. When you look beyond your playing career, do you have aspirations to get into political leadership, or would you rather more go down the philanthropic side of things?
I'm not sure. You know, a couple of years ago, I started to think a little bit more about my post-career days. But in the last, you know, year or so, I started to think a little bit less about it because I want those days to be a little bit further away. So I feel, you know, I haven't had a full off season in like 3 years because of all the injuries that I've gone through. And this is the first off season that I feel awesome and I feel good about training. I feel good about getting back to work. And so I'm just looking forward to that at the moment. I'm sure there will be some cool things I get a chance to do after my career, but at the moment, I'm just so excited to be doing things like this and feeling healthy enough to train and get ready for a fully healthy season.
Al?
Yeah, Al Pearson, Auto Week. Edelman said growing up, people kept telling him, you're too small, you're too slow, you'll never make it. I assume nobody ever told you you were too small. Is that
well,
close?
That was funny. It's funny you say that because that's part of the reason I didn't necessarily have as many scholarships coming out of high school. You know, I wanted to go to Wisconsin out of high school, and I didn't get a scholarship from Wisconsin. And I was told I was too small to be a tight end. So it all came back around. It worked out all right. But, no, I don't think I was told the same things he was. But he's also got a couple – he's also done a couple things that I want to do still. So I'm still working to catch up. And just like him and them, you know, everybody always finds a way to put a chip on your shoulder. And so – you always find a way to put a chip on your shoulder and work even harder.
Okay. Jacob?
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport Magazine. Now, have you been a fan of the sport in the past, JJ, and do you have a favorite for today?
So I grew up in Wisconsin. There's a lot of sprint car racing in Wisconsin, and I did. My family and I would go up north a lot back home and watch sprint cars, and that was awesome. NASCAR, so here's my experience with NASCAR. So in seventh grade, my tech ed teacher, his name is Mr. Mamro. I don't know if he's watching this, but if he is, he's going to freak out, and I'm excited about it. Mr. Mamro, every single day we'd go into his class, he had posters, flags, signs up on the wall. Dick Trickle. He loved Dick Trickle. Wisconsin guy, massive Dick Trickle fan. So all I knew growing up was Dick Trickle. I was like, all right, I don't know a whole lot about NASCAR, but I'm going to be a Dick Trickle fan. And every single week he would tell us what Dick Trickle did, what's he up to, what's his next race. So I knew names like Dick Trickle, and then I knew obviously Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, all that. But my experience with sprint cars and Dick Trickle.
Okay, we have I think one final one in the back.
Andrew Curlin, NASCAR Acceleration Nation. You still said you were getting the lay of the land here at Daytona. Just what are your initial impressions on the atmosphere that comes at such a big NASCAR event like the Daytona 500?
It looks like the type of place that you throw a hell of a party, and I'd like to be a part of it. I can tell you that. I mean, just pulling up, like you said, we just flew in, and you drive in, you see all the RVs, you see everybody out there getting excited. You can just feel the energy, you can feel the passion, you can feel the excitement in the air. And that's something that as an athlete you live for, and I don't get to experience it on game day as much because I'm in my zone getting ready and everything, so I don't get to be a part of the tailgate and see all that type of stuff. So to be here to experience that today and then to get a chance to be down there by the cars in the pits and really see it all up close, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm an adrenaline junkie just like everybody else here, I'm sure, so to be able to get that and feel that, I can't wait.
Thank you, JJ. Enjoy yourself. Looking forward to the command.
Thank you for being here. Thank you guys so much.